Happy New Year, my friends. Welcome to another hour of Grand Entertainment as we travel back in time to the golden age of radio and relive the entertainment that people enjoyed in decades gone by. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me as we gather around the old part of radio. Today, I've lined up two grand shows for you, and I apologize for the pun, and you'll soon realize what I mean by that. First up is Grand Central Station, which ran from October 8, 1937 until April 2, 1954, switching back and forth between CBS, NBC Blue, NBC, and ABC. The series featured a different cast of characters each week, all with different stories. The common thread holding them all together? All the stories start in Grand Central Station, officially called Grand Central Terminal, in New York City. I don't believe there are many episodes still extant. The one I chose for you today is from Saturday, September 18th, 1948, on CBS, and is titled Too Young to Understand. Sarah Fussell stars as young boy Willie Matheson, and also stars Will Gear of Walton's fame. I hope you enjoy it.
From New York, Pillsbury Snow Sheen Cake Flour today presents a surprise star in Grand Central Station. All aboard for better baking, lighter cake, you're on the right track. Pillsbury Snow Sheen Cake Flour. As a bullet seeks its target, shining rails in every part of our great country are aimed at Grand Central Station, part of the nation's greatest city. Drawn by the magnetic force of the fantastic metropolis, day and night, great trains rush toward the Hudson River, sweep down its eastern bank for 140 miles, flash briefly by the long red row of tenement houses south of 125th Street. Dive with a roar into the 2.5-mile tunnel which burrows beneath the glitter and swank of Park Avenue. And then, Grand Central Station. Crossroads of a million private lives. Gigantic stage on which are played 1,000 dramas daily. This is the tender, heartwarming story of Willie Matheson, the boy they always said was too young to understand. But Willie will surprise you, proving how little we really know of what goes on in the mind of a child. And now, since this is Willie's story, here he is to tell it.
Hello, I'm Willie. Our place is the first one on the left after you cross the railroad track. The white one with the red barn. I guess you'd think our house is kind of small, but so's our family. Just Pop, Mom, Joey, and me. Joey is older, but I'm going on 13. Well, you'd never know it from the way they treat me. Always acting like I was just a baby. For instance, I come into the parlor where Mom and Pop are talking, and as soon as they see me, they quit. And Mom says,
run along, Willie. Your father and I are discussing something.
Well, that's all right. I like to hear you when you're...
Do as you're told, son. You wouldn't understand anyway. You're too young.
Huh, too young. I understood a whole lot more than they thought. I knew the winter had been bad for us. First, it was the two heifers dying. That only left my own Jersey heifer, the one I was raising for the 4-H prize. Then half of Mom's laying hens died from the roof. On top of that, two haystacks in the feedlot burned up the night of that lightning storm. Well, I can tell you I was pretty worried. So I was sure glad that day when I heard Pop say...
Well, Annie, I finally heard a robin this morning.
You did? Then winter's over, I guess.
Yeah, I sure hope it means our hard luck's over, too. If what feed we've got will last till grass comes, maybe we can get by. I just can't ask for any more credit at the store.
Well, we've got the strawberries, Jim. They'll be coming in May and June.
I'm counting on the berries bringing in $400 or $500, but we're going to need $450 on July 1st to pay on the tractor and the power saw.
Oh, I was hoping we could get Joe a new suit for the high school graduation. He just can't stand up on that platform in his shiny old serge with the sleeves halfway up to his elbows. And what will he wear to Eve Fortney's party? All the rest of his class are probably going to be dressed up in new clothes.
Gosh, I felt terrible about Joe. And next day at school, I got bawled out plenty on account of I wasn't paying attention. I just couldn't keep my mind on anything except trying to think of some way to help him. When I got home from school, Mom was upstairs cleaning, and Pop wasn't around, probably over in the south pasture. Well, I got out the Sears Roebuck catalog, and on page 142, there was a picture of a swell-looking suit. 100% all-wool fraternity prep student suits. Snappy diagonal weave with subdued over plaid. Trousers with pleats shipping weight 3 pounds 12 ounces. Number 060D2707, medium blue. $21.50. Gee, with a parcel post, that'd be nearer $22. Gosh, where could I ever get that much before June 1st? Uh-oh, Mom's coming downstairs. I know it'll make her feel bad to catch me looking at the suits in the catalog. So I sneak out on the side porch and start whittling a stick for a bean shooter.
That you, Jim?
Yes, Annie.
Come here, I want to show you something.
Oh, Rossi, I forgot and left the catalog on the table.
What's the matter, Annie? What's wrong?
Look, Jim, I found the Sears Roebuck catalog open just like it is.
Mm.
Joe must have been looking at this suit here.
Yeah, nice one, all right. One pants suit, $21.50. Two pants suit, $26.95. Well, I sure wish we could get it for him, but even that $21.50 might as well be $1,000.
Oh, there must be some way. Joe's a good boy. I'm going to pray for that suit, Jim.
Well, you know, it is kind of tough to raise a family on very little money. As far as feeding them, I can tell you how you can make something awful good. It don't cost much. How do you think that family of yours would go for a great big cake dripping with icing, huh?
Joe went to the village that night, and Mom and Pop came up to bed about 10:30. I was still awake thinking. Next day was Saturday. No school. So I was figuring how I'd try to get some work over at Fortney's big farm. I heard the clock strike one and I was just about dozing off when a car come into our lane. It sounded like Joe talking to someone. So I got out of bed and went over to the window.
Gee, Eddie, you know I'd like to get in on it. I sure need dough bad, but...
No buts about it. It's a cinch. Can't miss. Fred and I can raise 30 or 40 bucks between us. So if you can dig up 15 or 20, we'll be all set.
Gee, 20 bucks. Well, I don't know. You say it's a sure thing, Eddie?
I tell you, that dough is already burning a hole in my pocket. And we ain't even got it yet. Of course, we have to let that smart aleck win it first. That's what the 60 bucks is for. But Fred's a demon at switching. He must have been born with dice in his hand. And we cut you in for a third of everything we make.
Gee, I don't know, Eddie. It sounds all right, but... Well, I'll see what I can do.
See you at school Monday, Joe. Don't forget the 20 bucks.
I'll remember. So long, Eddie.
So long.
I just got back to bed in time. Joe came in and started to undress in the dark. He spoke to me.
You awake?
But I let on like I was sound asleep.
Why, yes, Willie. With help as scarce as it is this spring, I'm sure I can use you.
Gee, that's fine, Mr. Forney. I'm glad.
How would you like to start right here in the barn?
Yes, sir. Anything you say.
I'm going to try raising broilers in the air. That new battery system?
Oh.
So what I want you to do first is sweep the floor very clean, then wipe down the walls and spray them with whitewash. Think you can do that?
Yes, sir. Sure, Mr. Forney. Being Saturday, I'll work all day today, but could I come after school on weekdays, too?
Glad to have you. Now, I pay 50 cents an hour.
Daddy, you're wanted on the telephone.
Oh, all right, Eve. I'll be right back. Willie, I'll help you get started.
Where have you been all day?
I've been working for Mr. Fortney. Look, here's $4.
But that's wonderful, son. Now you can get yourself a pair of shoes right away. Even the uppers.
But, Mom, I'm going to work at Fortney's every day after school, too. So I'll have plenty for shoes later on. I thought maybe there might be something special this money could go towards, couldn't it?
Bless you, son. There is something special in... God will bless you for the thought.
Should I put the money in the old coffee can, Mom?
Yes, dear. Then after supper, I want you to take that set in the turkey eggs over to the Metcalf.
What?
You collect $2 for them.
You're going to sell the turkey eggs?
Mm-hmm.
Then we won't have no turkey for Thanksgiving.
That's so. But maybe the $2 will help us get something we'll be more thankful for than turkey.
Sure. I like chicken better anyway. And you know what? I can work 3 hours after school every day for Mr. Fortney and all day Saturday.
My.
That'll mean, let's see now, 3 hours times 5 days is 15 hours, and 8 hours Saturday is 23 times 50 cents. Well, gee, that'll be 11:50 by next Saturday night.
Oh, won't that be wonderful?
11:50, and this four I got is 15:50, plus this $2 for the eggs. Gee, Mom, then we'll only need... Oh, gee...
What were you going to say, Willie? Only need what?
Well, I was just thinking how fast it saves up. You know, if we all, well...
Yes, son. I know what you mean. When families work for one another like we're doing, God works with them and...
Oh, and... Mom, you're crying.
It's nothing, Willie, dear. You wouldn't understand.
Fortney sure is a nice name. When Saturday came around, Eve wanted me to go to the village to get some things. So Mr. Fortney paid me for the whole day, and he let me quit at noon. $11.50 more I had for the old coffee can.
Willie, here's a list of things I wish you'd get. You'll find them all at the hub, so just charge them to our account.
Sure, Eve.
And you can take the Jeep if you promise to be careful.
Oh, gee, thanks. Well, could I drive home first before I go to the village?
Of course, there's no hurry.
Thanks again, Eve. It won't take long. I just want to give Mom something.
Okay, Willie. You're a good kid. Now, don't drive too fast.
When I got home, Mom was down feeding her May chicks. So I went out to the kitchen and took down the old coffee can. And I dumped out all the money and added my 11.50 to it. Let's see, 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, 17, 17.50. Only about 4 1/4 more will be enough to cover the parcel post and everything for Joe's suit. So I put the money back and was just putting the can back up on the shelf when Joe came in.
Hey, Willie, what are you doing?
Just putting away the money I made.
Money?
Shh, the secret. I think you're in for a swell surprise.
Huh?
New suit.
Oh.
Mom's saving up for it.
Oh, so Mom's saving up for something for me, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, where are you going with the Fortney's Jeep?
Into town to get some things for Eve. Want to come along?
Yeah, I was going in later anyway, so I might as well go with you. Go on out and get her started. I'll be right with you.
Okay, but make it snappy.
I didn't take very long, Willie. Let's go.
What you going into town for, Joe?
Nothing special. I got a date with Eddie, that's all.
After I dropped Joe off, I got the things for Eve and started for the Fortneys. But something kept running through my head. Joe was meeting Eddie. And I kept thinking of what I heard him say the night Joe got home so late.
The cinch, Joe. Can't miss. Fred and I can raise $30 or $40 between us. So if you could dig up 15 or 20, we'd be all set.
Something told me to go home first before I delivered the things to Eve. And I got there and took the can off the shelf. I didn't even have to open it to know that it was empty.
Well, it kind of looks like Joe's starting off making a big mistake.
Morning, I didn't wake till the sun came streaming in the window. The birds were singing. I could see a few little white clouds floating along, pink and gold on the bottom, and white on top, like... And all of a sudden, I remembered. The sunshine and the clouds and the birds all went bluey. Joe wasn't in bed, and his pillow hadn't been slept on. I got up and sneaked downstairs, because Mom and Pop always sleep late on Sundays. I was going to get myself some breakfast. My eyes lit on the coffee can on the shelf, and I lost my appetite. I went out and fed the chickens and milk, then I turned the horse and the cows out into the pasture. I always brushed my Jersey heifer every morning so her hide would be in good shape when it come time to show her for the 4-H prize. Oh, this morning, I just didn't have the heart to do it. All I could think of was Joe and the coffee can and how poor Mom was going to feel when she found out. Gosh, if there was only some way I could keep her from... Hey, the heifer, that's it. I just know Mr. Fulton will buy her for $17.50.
That you, Willie?
Yeah, Mom.
My goodness, you must have got up with the sun this morning. Done all your chores?
Had your breakfast?
I wasn't hungry when I got up, Pop, but I did the chores, and I'm sure hungry now.
Well, sit right down, and I'll dish you up some eggs and fried mush.
Better call Joe down first, Willie.
Joe? Oh, yeah. Well, you see, Joe didn't come home last night.
What?
Joe didn't come home?
No, I forgot to tell you. He asked me to tell you he was going to spend the night with Eddie.
Well, how did you happen to forget, Willie? I told you and told you to tie a string around
your feet. Now, Jim. Joe should have said something about it to me himself. Now, here's your egg, Willie.
Oh, thanks, Mom.
I don't favor his being with that Eddie.
Oh.
That boy's got a bad streak in him. Sure as skunks hate green apples.
Well, we don't have to worry about our Joe. He's a good boy.
Yes. Yes, he is. God bless him. I'm so glad we're going to be able to get him up. Willie.
Yes, Mom?
I washed and pressed your brown slacks. You better put him on for church this morning.
My friends, for the text of today's sermon, I have taken verse 15 of the 91st Psalm. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Friends, think of the tremendous import of that verse. It's solace and comfort. It makes to you a promise by the one omnipotent power which does not fail, will not fail.
All the way home from church, I kept thinking of that sermon.
He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
Gosh, God said that, and well, there was trouble, sure enough. So I made up my mind I was going to try what the minister said. I just had to get the money back in the coffee can before Mom looked there for it. So, when I got to the barn, I climbed up into the hayloft where nobody could see me. Then I kneeled down. Dear God, the minister said you'd answer, that you'd be with me in trouble. Please, please keep Joe safe and help me to get him out of his trouble. And I'll never ask you for anything else. So help me. Amen.
Doing over here on Sunday, and with that heifer?
I came to see your father.
Well, he's in the rock garden down by the spring house.
Thanks, E. Come on, Bessie.
Hey, wait, Willie. Did you hear about Eddie?
Eddie? No. What happened to him?
Well, he and some fellow named Fred were arrested last night.
Arrested? For what?
They were caught gambling and with crooked dice.
Eddie and just the two of them?
That's what Constable Loveton told Daddy. Imagine cheating with crooked dice.
I got away from Eve as quick as I could. I didn't want her to see how worried I was. Oh, at least Joe wasn't arrested. But where was he? Maybe he'd run away. Maybe... No. I asked God to help me. And the minister says he always does. Just then, as we came around the bend in the road by the rock garden... Bessie let out a big moo. Mr. Fortney looked up surprised.
Why, hello there.
Hello, Mr. Fortney. Can I talk to you, please? I came over to see you about something.
And you brought along your prize heifer, eh? Hey.
Bessie.
She's a beauty. I've seen most of the other entries around here, and you ought to win hands down, Willie.
Yes, sir, but I brought her over hoping you might buy her.
Me? Buyer?
Yes, sir. I'll sell her for $21.77.
Well, that certainly is an odd price. And a bargain for that heifer. But you know, I'm getting out of the dairy business, Willie. I'm getting rid of stock, not buying it.
I see, sir. Well, I guess I'd better just take her back home. The plan's just the same. Come on,
Bessie. Oh, just a minute, Willie. Sit down. We'll talk this over.
Oh, thanks.
I know the work and the care you put in on this animal and how much you want to win that $500 prize.
Yes, sir, I sure did.
Did? That's the past tense, ain't it? Why, what's the trouble, Willie?
It's awful trouble. That's why I just gotta have $21.77 right away, or... Well, at least $17.50.
Hmm. Yeah, you want to tell me about it?
Uh-huh. Last winter was awful bad for us. Mom and Pop, well, they wouldn't say anything, but things were worse for us than anybody around here knows about. Well, that's how it is, Mr. Fortney. The 27 cents is for parcel post. And the suit is $21.50, and when Mom finds out...
Willie, tell you what I'll do. I'm going into partnership with you on this heifer.
Huh?
I'll give you $25 right now for a 5% interest in the prize money. How's that?
You will, Mr. Fortney? And you mean I can keep the heifer?
Uh-huh. That's the deal. Now, here's your $25, Willie.
Thank you.
Now, run home and get it into that coffee can quick so your mother never knows.
Oh, boy. Bessie and me walked on air all the way home. The minister was right. God does answer. I felt like I ought to go right back up there in the hayloft and thank him. So, since I put the heifer in her stall, I climbed up into the hayloft.
That you, Willie?
Joe, where you been?
Well, I've been up here all night. I heard you praying for me before, kid, but it won't do any good. I'm in a peck of trouble.
No.
I'm running away as soon as it starts.
No, Joe, you don't have to know. You ain't in trouble anymore.
Yes, I am, Willie. They arrested Eddie and Fred. I wasn't in the game. I just gave Eddie the money. I was going to put it right back in the coffee can with some of the winnings. But it's gone now. I just can't face Mom and
Yes,
Pop.
Yes, you can, Joe, you can. God answered the prayer. He took care of you. Look, $25.
$25?
It's going right into the old coffee can before Mom finds out.
Mom knows already.
Oh, you sure?
Yes, I saw her from the hayloft door. I peeked out and she was sitting by the kitchen window with the can in her lap, crying.
Oh, gee. Oh, poor Ma. She was saving that money to get you a suit from Sears Roebuck. Wait, I got an idea. Come on, Joe, we're going to the house. Hiya, Mom. I just ran into
Joey. Joey. Oh, we've been so worried about you.
Well, I'm okay, Mom.
Oh, you must be hungry. You go wash up, and by the time you're back downstairs, I'll have something warmed up for you.
Oh, swell, Mom. I'm starved.
Hey, Mom.
Huh?
I got another $7.50 for some work I'm going to do.
Oh.
So I took the money out of the can, and Mr. Fortney changed it all to paper money for me. Here, $25 even.
Oh, Willie. Willie, then Joe didn't. Oh, thank God.
Gee, Mom, what are you crying for now?
Oh, God bless you, son. It's something that you wouldn't understand.
That was a beautiful performance, and I know you're all anxious to learn the names of the Broadway players presented by Pillsbury in today's Grand Central Station drama. I'll give you the complete cast in just a moment.
Well, our story goes to show that sometimes faith really does move mountains. You know, I hope this weekend you'll get around to using Pillsbury Snow Sheen cake flour. Bake the family a nice big cake. It won't take long with Snow Sheen. Snow Sheen cakes are quick to mix, they're quick to make, and they're quick to get compliments. You'll probably go shopping this afternoon, so just jot down Pillsbury Snow Sheen cake flour on that things I must buy list. And until next week, whenever you hear a train whistle, don't forget Pillsbury and Grand Central Station.
And now our cast. Today's Grand Central Station drama, Too Young to Understand, was written by Harold Park Godwin. And in the leading role of the young boy, Willie, was our surprise star, Sarah Fussell, a talented young lady who plays little boys more realistically than they can themselves. Mom was played by Charmaine Allen, Pop by Will Gere, Mrs. Fortney by Howard Smith, Eve by Bethel Leslie, Joe by Jackie Ayers, and Eddie by Kenneth Forbes. We leave Pillsbury's Grand Central Station until next week at this same time. Listen for the train whistle and hear the remarkable story of Myron Sully, betrayed when he let someone else think for him, doomed when he started to think for himself. Our star is your favorite and ours, Mason Adams of Stage and Radio. You'll also hear players from Mark Connolly's new play, A Story for Strangers, and from Gentlemen from Athens and others. So join us next week and every week for a new play with a completely new top-flight cast from the Broadway theaters. Until then, this is Ken Roberts, your Grand Central Station narrator, saying goodbye and better baking for Pillsbury, greatest name in flour. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What a beautiful story with a heartwarming ending. It proves we should never underestimate how much a young child actually understands. You just heard the Grand Central Station episode, Too Young to Understand, starring Sarah Fussell in the role of the boy, Willie Matheson. Next, we're going to hear an episode from one of the longest-running radio series in history. The Grand Ole Opry began broadcasting on November 28, 1925 on WSM Radio as a way to sell insurance for the station's owners, the National Accident and Life Insurance Company. Over 90 years later, the Opry still airs on WSM every Saturday evening. Being invited to join the Grand Ole Opry is a highlight of many country musicians' career. Today's Opry episode was first aired on Saturday, January 6, 1951, and stars the late Red Foley. Enjoy.
Grand Ole Opry time, starring Red Foley.
Now, ever since I've been so high, I've been a fool for potato pie. It makes no difference how I stuff. I never seem to get enough. Pie, pie, potato pie. P-I-E-E-I-P-5. Eat for I for fast, pizza pie for I. Just love that tater pie. I'm looking for a gal that cooks. I don't care much the way she looks. I'll be hers until I die if she can make a tater pie. I love tater pie. P-I-E-E-I-P-5. Chocolate, cherry, boysenberry. Nothing's good as tater pie. Now after we have made the match, we'll raise a great big tater patch. And we'll just let the world go by, live on love and tater pie. I love tater pie, P-I-E-I-P-5. Hold your tater, stay a little later, and we'll all have some tater pie. We're looking forward to a tall tale or two as told to us by one of America's funniest men. We thank a good friend from Hohenwald, Tennessee, Rod Bracefield.
Well, thank you, Miss, for that there fine music. Much obliged. Howdy, Mr. Foley.
Howdy, Rodney. How you doing?
Hey, Mr. Foley, I'm going to get one on you now. I'm going to get a good joke on Rodney.
You always get a joke on.
Do you know what the little chicken said when it found an orange in its mama's nest?
Do I know what the little chicken said when it found an orange in its mama's nest?
Yeah.
Oh, look what an orange marmalade.
The way it was supposed to be, Mr. Foley. I
yeah,
supposed to tell
that.
A funny part.
You son of a gun, you.
Hey, Mr. Foley, I'm having a lot of trouble with my gal, Susie.
Always having trouble
yeah.
with Susie.
The other day I went out and I bought her some new stockings, but she didn't like them.
She didn't? What is the matter with the stockings?
I don't know, Mr. Foley, unless they're too short. Susie said they just didn't quite come up to her expectations. Another thing, Mr. Foley, that gal don't dress near as neat as she used to.
Why do you say that?
Well, the last time I seen Susie, she was wearing one of them our Civil War dresses.
What on earth is a Civil War dress?
That's a dress where the North keeps pulling away from the South. And Skimpy, I'm telling you, Red, that was the skimpiest dress I've ever seen in my life. It's one of them my gownless evening straps. I called her, and she says, I'll be right out, Rod.
Uh-huh.
And she wasn't kidding.
Rod, where'd you go to, party or something like that?
Yeah, I went to a party, Mr. Foley. Mm-hmm. My Uncle Sipe gave one of them our costume parties.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble is, Uncle Sipe didn't stay long, he said.
You mean at his own costume?
No,
party?
He didn't stay long. You know how he loves to take a little drink now and then. Poor old man.
Yeah.
Well, he just stayed there for about an hour in the court. I'll tell you one thing, though, Mr. Foley. I seen the best costume tattoo party I ever seen in my life. A fella come dressed in a bright green suit. Mm-hmm. Very green suit. And underneath the suit was his red long-handled underwear.
Yeah.
And the whole back end of that green suit was all cut out.
Rod, what in the world was this fella supposed to be?
A stuffed olive. Miss Foley, I'd love to visit with you longer, but I'll declare I've got to go and see about my rabbits.
Where are you going?
I'm raising rabbits. You know, everybody's raising them there white rabbits now. You know, they raise them to eat.
They're good, too.
Yeah, I love fried rabbit. Boy, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, ain't nothing no better than fried rabbit. You know what they call them there rabbits that's raised inside the building?
No, what, Rod? That's...
ingrown hairs.
I've known some fishermen in my life, and I've known some singers, too. And here's a man, though, that can't make up his mind whether he'd rather fish than sing or sing than fish. But I guarantee you he does both about as well as they can be done. And I mean that goodwill ambassador from Op, Alabama, the one and only Lou Childrey. Lou, come out here, buddy.
Yes, sir.
The one and only. Lou, buddy, we're glad to see that's a new guitar you got there, ain't it?
Yes, sir, what? Mr. Red. That is a new one. Don't shine, boy. Look at that.
Yeah. What'd you do with that old one?
Well, sir, man, you know I had to have something to carry my fish bait in. Don't you know that?
That might go to any extreme. Lou, you've been making some records here lately, haven't
you?
Yeah,
for Mercury, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you what, I think the folks would like to hear one of your very latest records.
Well, I got a light Lou Childrey arrangement here on one of the Light of Love classics. I wonder if I could use your ensemble.
Yes, they're available.
Boys, not too fast and not too slow now. We want it just right, so it'll be sweet. Right out through the pig pen I come with a hog call and blues.
Here we go.
Pig, pig, pig. Gonna take me a sack full of corn, not a nubbin in that bag. I'm going down to the River Swamp. I'm gonna take me a sack full of corn. I'm gonna call them pigs from night till early morn. Set the show right down there is. Look yonder coming, the pigs, they're coming on a run. Where they coming, yeah, to get some of this, yeah, good old golden dead corn. Let me run the old spotted sow, waving that little speckled show. Sooty halt! Oh, get me a rose corn right enough. Let me run the old brutes out, waving that little speckled shoal. Cause if she hit him with them long tushes, she gonna cut that little boy's throat.
For a little quiet thought and maybe a silent prayer or two.
tonight's sacred song, Lord, I'm Coming Home. Suppose we hear a little spiritual here called Something Within, huh?
Oh, that I know, I've got a feeling there's something within.
Something.
wonderful. Well, you know, I've got a kind of a crush on this gal that we're going to hear from now. And from your response week after week, I'd say that you have, too. So let's get her out here. Cousin Minnie Pearl.
Howdy!
Howdy!
I'm just proud to be here. Well, so somebody suggested tonight that I ought to come out here and start throwing kisses at the fellers. Imagine me throwing kisses at fellers. Well, I ain't that lazy. But I don't have to worry none as long as I have my feller Hezzy. I've been going out with Hezzy now for a long time. I use that going out. That's something new I picked up. I used to say keeping company. But not anymore. I'm real, real modern. I say going out now. I've been going out with Hezzy since I wore pigtails. I wore pigtails till I was 24. About 2 or 3 years ago. It wasn't that them there pigtails improved my appearance. It was just that I was so shy. And when a fella's trying to kiss a girl that's shy, pigtails make awful good handles. Well, we sure have been having nice weather in Grinder's Switch. Well, that's the best place in Tennessee to live at.
Excuse me, Minnie.
Yes, Rodney.
Did I hear you say that Grinder's Switch was the best place in Tennessee to live at?
That's right.
Well, Flitter, I guess you never heard the Hornwall.
Well.
Well, Ned, I'll tell you one thing. Everybody and everything is so healthy down there. While we grow pumpkins down there so big that the folks just cut them in half and use them for bathtubs.
Oh, well, that's fairly large for a pumpkin. Almost as large as a Grinder Switch mushmelon.
Yeah, well, we can't grow no mushmelons in Hornwall.
That's what I thought. You got to have good, rich soil for mushmelons.
Yeah, that's the trouble, Minnie. Our soil is too rich. Why, the vines grow so fast, they wear the mushmelons out, just dragging them along on the ground.
Well, I know one thing. We sure grow the biggest mews in Grinders than any place else in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Biggest mews.
Yeah.
I tell you, Minnie, you know what you're talking about. Well, everybody knows the biggest jackasses come from Hornwall.
That's the first time you've been right.
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, you ought to know.
Sure, Arthur. Oh.
Look, Rodley. Now, wait, Rodley. Let's don't argue. Did you get the note I sent you the other day?
Yeah, I did, Minnie. But tell me, honey, what was all them our little old exes doing on the bottom of the letter there?
Oh, didn't you know, Rodley?
No, what they mean?
Them kisses.
Kisses?
Yeah.
Boy, you sure have got funny shaped lips.
Rodley, do you remember when we used to go around together before you met Susie and I met Hezzy?
Yeah.
Remember when I still had them big old braces on my teeth?
I sure do, Minnie. I sure do. Every time you smiled, you looked like the front end of a new Buick.
Oh, yeah, so that's why one night you kissed the car and backed me in the garage.
Well, sir, I guess we've got the stage all set here for Mr. Lou Childrey to come back out here. Lou,
yes,
come
sir.
On out here, buddy.
Ring the bell,
then. Oh, you're ready to go, huh?
We're riding aboard the elevated train.
Well, it's riding on the elevated railroad. This land and it just suits me. Living near the track of everything, looking back the river when the shade's high so you can see. Now in the first room I saw a man a-shaving. He was frowning like the razor hurt his face. And in the next room, I saw a bulldog gazing at a cat upon the window he had chased. In the next room, I saw a lady cooking while the man was going through his evening mail. And in the next room, I saw a little baby. He was trying hard to bite his dog's tail. Oh, it's riding on the elevated railroad. It's pleasant and it just suits me. Take a day or night and know you'll find old Lou's ride. Well, it's a very funny sight you will see. All right, Mr. Dog. Now you can ride in taxi cabs or in the subway, aeroplanes and ice in summertime. But folks, you don't know what you're really missing until you ride upon the elevated line. In the next room, I saw a couple spooning while all the lights were turned down low. In the next room, I saw an old maid praying for a man who's whispered, "Honey, I love you so." Oh, behave yourself. Well, it's riding on the elevated railroad. It's pleasant and it just suits me. People living near the track can never think you're looking back the river when the sheet's high as you can see. So take a day or night and know you'll find old Lou's ride some very funny sights you will see. Thank you. Hey!
Well, that's our long, lean, and lanky friend Spring Bean, the banjo picking man this side of the Cumberland River. So keep it going, that Spring. Lonesome Road Blues, boy. You ready tonight?
I'm way down in jail on my knees. I'm way down in jail on my knees. I'm way down in jail on my knees. And it's gonna be treated this way. I'm going down this road feeling bad. I'm going down this road feeling bad. I'm going down this road feeling bad. And it's gonna be treated this way.
Many tears ago. Many tears ago, you said you loved me. Oh, how happy was this heart of mine. Then a dark cloud came from out of nowhere, and the sun went down no more to shine. Many tears ago I learned to well love what it means to bear a heavy load. I found out just what is meant by sorrow. Many tears ago along life's goodbye
aching heart remembers. Many, many tears ago today.
The nationally known and famous program starring the best hillbilly and country artists has come to you through the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
That was some great toe-tapping music. I admit that I'm biased because I was raised in old-time country music. You're listening to the Grand Ole Opry, the long-running country music radio program that began broadcasting over 90 years ago in November of 1928 on WSM Radio. The episode selected for you today was first heard on Saturday, January 6, 1951, and it starred the late, great Red Foley and many other great music stars of the era. WSM Radio broadcasts a powerful 50,000-watt signal, which can be heard in over 30 states. I'm afraid it's almost time for us to say bye-bye for the week. I welcome your thoughts on today's program. You may email me at corey@cfisfm.com, that's C-O-R-E-Y, or write me at Old Part of Radio, 2080 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker, wishing you a great week and Happy New Year.